So I wanted to keep pushing myself, essentially. I think it's probably a bit like an athlete, you know.
Yeah.
They want to run 100 meters, then they want to run 200 meters, then they want to do it faster, you know. So it's the same thing in business for me. I want to take on the next challenge and I want to push myself, essentially. So it's a consequence of making choices that pushed me, that I've ended up where I am. One of the things I would say is early on, again, back to my earlier point, I did say yes to a lot of things I was concerned about, I was worried about, I was frightened about that were going to change my life pretty significantly. One of those was moving to the US. I got offered a job in the States and I moved to the US without even visiting the city.
So welcome to the Meaning for Jobs podcast season three. I'm your host, Adrian, and today we're extremely honored to be joined by the CMO of Vodafone, in Amanda. So how are you, Amanda? I hope you're well.
I'm great. Thanks very much, Adrian. I am the CMO of Vodafone Business, I should say.
I see. So yeah, thanks so much, for being in the podcast. I thought that, before we start off, people should know you better first, because a lot of candidates or potential employees might think that, oh, a C-suite person is, inapproachable, difficult to talk to, but you guys are humans as well. So yeah, could you maybe give us a brief intro about who you are and how you got to where you are in your career?
Yeah, fantastic. And again, thanks so much for the invitation, Adrian. I think this is a wonderful initiative to talk about meaningful work. I grew up in England. I studied in at Hull University in the UK. I studied business and management. And quite shortly after I graduated, ended up moving to the US. So I had quite a long career in the States as well before returning back to the UK.
I see. So how is it different between the US and the UK, you think, in terms of working and the
Gosh,
culture
there's
as
so
well?
many, yeah, there's so many
Oh, I
differences.
can
Yeah,
imagine. Because
so many differences.
I actually lived in Los Angeles for a few months as well, and
Yeah.
I used to think that Americans are a bit similar to the UK, because I'm originally from Hong Kong, but turns out two entirely different cultures.
Oh my goodness, so different, so different. Yeah, where to begin with that? Yeah, and I've lived in Germany as well, so I've sort of moved around quite a bit with my career, but yes, America is a fascinating place. I mean, I went there early in my 20s, and probably I would say it's a great place to work in your 20s. It is very performance orientated. It is incredibly driven. It is ambitious. And there's, I think what we say in our family is that in America, work is a performance sport. It is the total focus of most people that you work with. Having said that, I mean, they do knock off at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which we don't do in the UK. You know, we work
Yeah.
until 6 or 7. So, but they're very, very focused. They do not have the vacation we have in Europe, and I think that's
I
a bit
know.
unhealthy.
I
Yeah, I
heard
think
that they
that's
don't have a minimum statutory of holidays there.
well, no, not statutory. That's right. Most organizations give you about 10 days, and they really mean it. And personally, I think that's very unhealthy because on the topic of meaningful work, I mean, I think you've got to find balance in work, and the time to replenish yourself and rest is critical also for your productivity. So I think that does lead to a lot of burnout in the US. But amazing. I mean, obviously, I've been in the tech industry for a long time now, and it was an incredible learning ground in my 20s and early 30s to work there for some of the largest corporations on the planet. So very, very fun, very interesting. As I say, very driven and ambitious.
So did you then go back to the UK, or did you then move to Germany after your stint in the
No,
US?
I studied German. So I went to Germany earlier in my life, as
Right.
part of my university degree. I lived in North Germany. I lived in a tiny little town where nobody spoke English, and
Okay, that's
consequently,
interesting.
yeah, it was quite rural. But it was the town that my university town was twinned with. And after that, I then moved to Frankfurt just after I graduated for a job in Deutsche Bank, in an administrative role, actually. Yeah, just with my
I see.
German. Even though
So
I graduated,
do you speak fluent German now?
Yes, I do. Yes,
That's
in the
great.
north.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And so I took this role in Germany for a while, lived in Frankfurt, worked for a bank. That was very interesting. But fundamentally, I wanted to sort of travel more, experience more different kinds of roles. So I moved back to the UK and then into the tech industry.
Right. So you first you went to banking, then in tech. So in banking, was it at all involved in tech, or was it a completely different role?
No, it was completely different. It was just that first job you have after university.
Yeah,
I
where
think there was
nobody.
probably a boyfriend involved somewhere in that picture. You know, try to be close to the boyfriend. That's what you're
Yeah,
focused
that's
on. And
very
everybody is.
important when you're young.
They're very important,
Less
absolutely.
important maybe as you grow older.
Well, still important. My
Still
view is it's still
important, still
important. Yeah.
important, yes.
I'm not one of those people who can live, you know, miles away from my family. I don't really like that. I don't think that's very balanced and hard to sustain. Although I did have to do it later in my career for a couple of years. I did travel extensively for around the world. But no, it was a fantastic experience. You know, highly analytical. It was in portfolio management arena. But then I moved back to the UK and became actually an industry analyst, was kind of one of my
Oh,
first
okay.
jobs. Yeah, and I got into that because I spoke German. I think this is the funny thing about career journeys on your topic. And I do think that young people today worry a lot about this. They think, oh, there's a particularly perfect path I need to take. But I think you can let serendipity play its role. And, you know, as a consequence of speaking German, I got offered this job in an industry analyst company. I had no idea what an industry analyst company was at that time. But I found the work incredibly interesting. I was doing research essentially in German language with German ASIC manufacturers, so technology manufacturers, and then writing reports about the industry and advising companies in those sectors. I never would have picked that, never would have known what that was. You know, literally just came about through the language connection. And I've actually found a lot of people from the arts do incredibly well in technology, you know, but I guess they have to be brave enough to take that first step.
So what gave you that bravery to like just completely switch fields into tech?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been incredibly curious. I mean, they always say that, don't they? Be keep curious. And I think that's absolutely right. One of my favorite films is Yes Man. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's Jim Carrey, very funny movie. And he's a guy who sort of has limited his choices in life to keep safe, you know? And in the movie, he has to say yes. There's sort of some kind of special charm, and he has to say yes to every opportunity that he comes across. And of course, it enriches and enlarges his life and makes it much happier. And I think somehow in me, I have that desire to say yes to things, to experience life to the fullest
Well, I guess that's
and not
human nature,
to.
isn't it, though?
Yeah, I think
To some
so.
extent,
Yeah. Although you say that, but I have to say, quite often people get offered opportunities and they're too scared to take them. And it's getting beyond the fear that will change your life. You know, there's some good books about this. There's a fantastic Netflix documentary by a guy called Stutz who talks about this, getting through your fear zone essentially. And I think of it as like, you know, yeah, look before you leap, but don't really think before you leap. Just
Well, so
go anyway.
how would you advise people to take this balance? So you can't just jump at any opportunity, but you can't at the same time just be focused on your own thing forever, right? So how do you take that balance, you think?
Well, I think, it, you know, I'm talking about early in your career here. So, sort of, you know, between your 20s and 30s, I think that's the point where you want to try as many things as possible. You know, you just want to get out there and you do want to say yes to opportunities that you come across. Sorry,
But
go
don't
ahead.
you think then, like some people might think that if you're too jumpy in your CV, that you're all over the place, then it's difficult for you to settle into a longer term role when you're like a bit older. Would you agree with that? Or, well, I
Not at
obviously
all.
disagree with it, but for
Totally
people who
disagree.
are afraid of this, you know, what would you say to
Yes.
them?
Yeah. I think, you know, the thing is, gosh, what to say to that? First of all, you shouldn't live your life for other people. Second of all, most large companies would love it if you just stay in your job doing the same thing for them at the same pay for the rest of your life. That would suit companies quite well. Right?
It'll be so great if you've never asked for a pay rise.
Never ask for a pay rise. Just keep doing a brilliant job. Yeah. That would be fantastic from where the company is sitting. And, you know, if you think about it logically, right? So you're the master of your destiny. You've got to pick the choices and experiences that you think you need. And for me, it was about really broadening exactly that, my experience, getting a more 360 perspective. You know, I worked in B2C, I worked in B2B, I've done product roles, sales roles, marketing roles. So it was kind of a practical MBA, think of it like that.
Oh, so even better than an MBA, because you're getting real life experience, right?
Exactly, exactly. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, I think you know, you need to try and get as much experience as you can in that way, because then you'll get it on your timetable and not on someone else's timetable.
So you made a switch into tech, and how long did you stay in tech before you make another switch?
Oh, I've been in tech over 30 years now.
Over 30 years now. So so you're just talking exclusively about when you're a bit younger, right? Perhaps more stability is needed.
Of course.
Absolutely. So, can you tell us how you then, you know, moved up the ranks to become the CMO of Vodafone Business? Because I don't think being a C-suite person is the right job for everybody. It must be quite demanding job, right? So, how did you come into this position yourself?
Yeah, that's a great point, Adrian. And I think, you know, sort of traditional career paths always make this point, oh, you should be climbing the ladder, you should be leading a department, you should be the C-suite, you know, you should aspire to these things, but that may not necessarily be the lifestyle that you want. And of course, it comes with lots of, you know, downsides as well,
right?
In terms of sort of personal time, you know, the kind of energy you need to drive a large organization is very significant. And, you know, you have to be kind of all in on that kind of role. There is no getting away from that. And so in my case, how did I come to that position? I think because I was very driven throughout my whole life, essentially. I've been quite driven from day one. And as I said, driven by a sort of insatiable curiosity to improve myself and to learn more about the world and about how things work. So I wanted to keep pushing myself, essentially. I think it's probably a bit like an athlete. You know, they want to run 100 meters, then they want to run 200 meters, then they want to do it faster. You know, so it's the same thing in business for me. I want to take on the next challenge and I want to push myself, essentially. So it's a consequence of making choices that pushed me that I've ended up where I am. One of the things I would say is early on, again, back to my earlier point, I did say yes to a lot of things I was concerned about, I was worried about, I was frightened about that were going to change my life pretty significantly. One of those was moving to the US. I got offered a job in the States and I moved to the US without even visiting the city.
Wow.
That I was going to move to. Yeah. But I
That's
knew
quite a big risk.
Yeah, it was. It was a big risk. But you have to take risks or you don't get return. We know that in finance, and it's the same in life, you know, actually. And again, early on is when you can take those risks. That's why I encourage young people to be a bit freer, to not worry quite so much. Try and get exposure, to try and learn as much as they can, to take opportunities that come their way. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity. There's no such thing as perfect. And you've no idea who you're going to meet through a supposedly non-perfect experience that might then lead to something great. So, you know, keep basically, you got my message, keep saying yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yes, I said yes to going to the US when I was quite young, when I was about 24. And I moved to Houston, Texas from West London. And as I say, I hadn't been there before. That was a massive cultural difference, of course, but an incredibly interesting job, which is why I wanted to do it. And I was young at that point, junior, of course. So you can't be quite as demanding when you're junior. Yeah. So they said, would you like to go? You know, you kind of got to make your mind up in a month. I'm kind of like, yeah, the answer to that is yes, I want to go.
You have to say yes, right? So even a month is too much time, maybe. You just need a second maybe to say yes.
But it was stressful, you know. I remember feeling the stress. I think I actually cried. I had a boyfriend at the time. I was like, actually, the guy I'm now married to. So it worked out, but, you know, I was very stressed about it, right? But somehow I just knew I'm young. I need to take this opportunity. I need to learn. I need to expand my horizons. This might not come around again. I got to go. Even if there's pain involved in that, I have to go.
So I think you mentioned quite a few times about self-improvement and curiosity. Can you more specifically tell us what, in terms of what are you trying to improve and what drove your motivation to keep being better at what you do?
I mean, I think that's quite innate in human nature to some extent. And usually the reason we don't self-improve is again through fear. You know, we're afraid that we might not be able to do something, and then we would have to change our perspective of ourselves, and we're afraid of that. So I think that's what stops people thinking about this topic. But I think it's so key. Why not be the best you can be? Why not explore all the possible avenues? And learn from others. You know, that's something I learned again very early on in my career. You know, when you come out of university, you know, if you come out of sort of as a sort of high performer and you kind of think, yeah, I've got all the knowledge in the world, I know exactly what I'm doing. And you've got a lot of speed and agility at that age. But I learned quite quickly, you know, the power of teams early on, and you know, that collective intelligence that you get when you work with a team. And when that team feels empowered and supported and in a sort of psychologically safe environment, the incredible strength you can get from that for problem solving. So I thought that was a very interesting insight as well.
So, in terms of, the meaning of work, because it's the name of this
Sorry.
pod, in terms of the meaning of work, because it's the name of the podcast. So how do you keep finding meaning, aside from, let's say, just a paycheck or a promotion?
Yeah, well, I think that's such a lovely question. And I think, as I said before, I think this is fantastic you're doing this because I think, you know, myself included, many people do run through those first sort of certainly those first 10 years, maybe even the first 5 years of their career and longer, going, okay, well, I am just getting a paycheck. I am just working, you know, Monday to Friday, you know, even the weekends, you know, what's it all for? That's a, you know, a natural human question. And I think, you know, for me, meaning really comes from the human relationships that I get at work and also helping others feel good about themselves and see their own potential and support them and give reinforcement to them about their strengths and about the contribution they're making. And it's very lovely to see when you do that, how people blossom. Because most people are not really used to being told that they're good at something. Frankly, that's not kind of been the historical work culture. It's very much been, okay, let's do your mid-year review. Let's tell you what's wrong, you know? That does not inspire greatness in people. And, you know, people have incredible talents. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me what people are capable of. And they just really need permission and someone to recognize them. So for me, that's a huge part of work. And I think that goes along with community. And in the tech industry, what's been amazing for me in my career just has been the intellectual stimulation as well. You know, working with many brilliant people, solving really difficult problems. I've really enjoyed that. It's stretched me. I've learned a huge amount. So that's sort of the second element, the intellectual challenge. And then thirdly, you know, in this sort of second phase of my career now in the C-suite, of course, I've got an opportunity to influence, you know, causes that are important to all of us, causes like the climate, poverty, diversity. So I'm able to take an active role in promoting those causes as part of my work. And when you have a vehicle, a big brand like a Vodafone Business or others, then you have an amazing opportunity that you actually don't have if you're, you know, sitting at home, for example, just as one person. You know, you could still feel passionately about the climate, but you don't have quite as many resources at your disposal as you do if you're in a large company. So it's an incredible privilege.
So, moving on to talk a little bit about Vodafone Business. You talked about, people fearing about perhaps mid-review sessions. Do you guys do this a bit differently to try and empower people instead of, having them fret about this, when they come into a review session?
Yeah, we've got a very, very well thought out approach to culture and performance at Vodafone Business. and Vodafone across the board because it's shared across the whole organization. Vodafone is consumer. I'm on the business and enterprise side. And we focus very much on the human spirit and how to work on your personal agilities. So how to be open, how to feel confident, how to support your colleagues. Of course, we do talk about objectives. All businesses have to talk about objectives. But we try to keep that, you know, a non-emotional discussion about, you know, we're either on track or off track. You know, what can we do to get back on track if we're not on track?
Yeah.
You know, how can we support each other to achieve the goals, the business goals that we have, but do it in a way that is, you know, collegial and supportive.
So in terms of core values, so Vodafone Business, you know, big household brand, a lot of people want to work for Vodafone. What are some of the things that you can get out of working in Vodafone, you think?
Oh my gosh, I think amazing. It's an amazing place to work. I think especially again for a young person, I think it's an incredible company. So as I mentioned, two sides of the business. So the one that many of you will be familiar with, the mobile phone business, you know, fixed line, broadband to your home. So the consumer side of the house. So that's a fascinating, fast moving business. So if you came into Vodafone, you have the opportunity to be in one organization, but potentially move your career between B2B and B2C, which you don't always get in a large organization. They tend to be typically focused on one segment or the other. So I think that makes Vodafone really unique. I think that if you're curious again, it's an incredibly stimulating place to work because we have so many different kinds of technologies and solutions. So that's very inspiring and invigorating. To, you know, one day you could be working on a security technology. The next day you could be working on cloud solutions together with Amazon. We have other big partners like Google and Microsoft. You can be involved with all of these initiatives.
Wow. So it seems like a lot of young people shouldn't just be thinking about their iBanks or being a doctor. Maybe get into the telecoms, you know, industry. That might be more beneficial. Tech industry. Yeah. So... yeah, aside from maybe like the exposure that you get in Vodafone, how do you steer the company or your employees in a way to contribute to society? What are the meaningful impacts that you can get off this job at Vodafone?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think just coming back on your earlier comment as well, I mean, obviously, you know, you have to decide for yourself what drives you. And for many people, a service life is an incredible contribution to society. So being a doctor or a nurse or working in a care home or in childcare, these are incredible careers. So I think, you know, one knows oneself, kind of a sense of a leaning, you know, are you more in that direction or are you more in kind of, you know, like to work in business? And there are big pros and cons to both sides, I think. I think for Vodafone Business, the way we steer the company on purpose is around our purpose pillars. So as a whole organization across Vodafone and Vodafone Business, our purpose pillars are around improving the digital society. So that's around inclusion, digital inclusion. Separately, inclusion for all and our planet and climate initiatives. And in Vodafone Business, as part of that, I've sponsored a couple of key organizations that are focused on improving development and research in the climate and sustainability area.
So, just lastly, before we end the interview, do you have any advice for people, young adults or even managers, if they are struggling in their careers, perhaps they might be thinking about a new job or staying in their new job, what would your advice be for them, aside from just taking more adventures? Like, what are some of the deciding factors, you think, in making a career decision?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to talk to as many people as possible. So if you have your eyes on a particular type of career, obviously you have to meet as many people as possible in that sector and talk to them about what it's really like to work in that sector. Ask them for referrals. Of course, ask for and take any intern opportunities that you get. Again, the performance culture, I think, probably driven quite heavily by the US, has tended, from what I've seen, to make graduates think, oh, again, the opportunity must be perfect. It must be this specific thing. No, if you get an opportunity to intern or take a training placement, take it. because you're going to learn a huge amount. You're going to meet people you don't expect to meet, and that can lead to all kinds of things you can't anticipate. I think the idea that we can plan everything perfectly is a really bad idea. We can't.
And what age did you realize that this perhaps isn't possible? Like, planning isn't possible at every stage in your career.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a long time.
Long time.
Probably,
at least you got there.
Probably in my 30s.
At least you got there in the end.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's perfect.
Well, look, it's been, great talking to you, Amanda. I wish you all the best. And thanks again for being in the podcast.
Fantastic. Thanks, Adrian. Hope it was helpful.